Morning, everyone. So as we continue now through this journey through Lent, we find ourselves more or less at the halfway point, right? The third Sunday of this great holy season of Lent. And the church, in her great wisdom, seems to focus throughout this season of Lent upon the story of Moses and the Exodus. And today in our first reading, we hear the story of Moses begin to unfold. In fact, what we hear now is Moses out in the desert with the people, the Israelite people who are quarreling. And what's interesting about this story, as I said, perennially, we come back to this. We come back to Moses and that story of the Exodus. Moses, after being commanded by God to lead the Israelite people out of Egypt, ultimately destining them to the promised land, the land that God had promised to Abraham. And what's interesting is this story of the Exodus, it's captivated us as a people. And one of the things that I think we can point to is just look at the way that Hollywood fixates on this story. Right, the story of the Exodus, the story of Moses, is something that Hollywood comes back to time and time again. Right, think of the great story of the Prince of Egypt, that cartoon that came out, probably 20, 25 years ago. Or even more so than that, we think of probably most vividly of Charlton Heston and that great 3-hour and 40-minute epic called the Ten Commandments. I mean, think about it. For us, our attention span is like 5 minutes. So if we're able to spend 3 hours and 40 minutes on a movie, that means that there's something underneath that. It means that there's something that captivates us. If we're willing to give that amount of time, and I know that was about 50 years ago now, I don't know if we'd have that attention span now. But even just to think about it, that we'd be willing to invest that amount of time to watch that story, that means that there's something underneath there that continues to speak to us today. Because again, what I think, and the reason why we come back to this story perennially, is because the Exodus isn't something that merely happened in the past, but rather the Exodus is still happening in the present. Right? Moses leading those Israelite people out of slavery is still something that we can identify with today. And in fact, now, that is the image that the church has for our lens. Right? It was Moses who takes those Israelite people out of enslavement in Egypt. And for 40 years, we hear them wandering around in the desert. Right? Those 40 years meant to symbolize the 40 days of Lent, meant to symbolize those 40 years of wandering in the desert. But what's interesting is the story that we hear today is that we see those Jews, those Israelites, they begin to quarrel. And one of the things that's so amazing to me time and time again, and I think this is one of the reasons why this story speaks to us, is that the Israelites, they continue to look back towards Egypt, knowing full well what was there, knowing full well that Moses led them out of slavery. But for whatever reason, at any sign of hardship, all of a sudden now, they begin to think that my life was better back there. Why are you leading me out into this? Right, as we hear today in the reading, they thirst. And so they think to themselves, we didn't have to worry about this when we were back in Egypt. Why did you bring us out here? Bring us out here to die. And you see, I think this story continues to be interesting to us because we can think the same way. Right, one of the great questions that people ask, you know, especially in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of struggle, it's, you know, is life even worth it? Right? Why would God lead us out here if He would give us the capacity to suffer? If He would give us the capacity to thirst for Him? Would it just not be better if we didn't exist? Wouldn't it just be better if we just look back towards Egypt? Because what we see time and time again is, especially when we get into those difficult times in our life, and I've said this in a number of my sermons before, it's in those periods of trial, of struggle, that we continue to look back to things for comfort. Because again, like those Israelites in the desert, we thirst. And we look for anything to quench that thirst. So we turn to things of the world. And in fact, I think this is where that great gospel of the Samaritan woman at the well comes in. Because we see this woman, we see that she comes to this well looking for something to quench that thirst. And in fact, that's why Jesus is there too. Right? He says that he too is there because he thirsts. And for us, we should remember the other time where Jesus has that same line, that same sentiment. Right? It's from the cross. When he says that he thirsts literally for us, for the souls of every single human person. And Jesus finds himself at that well now because he thirsts for this Samaritan woman, this outcast. Right, this woman who comes to the well, we hear, at the sixth hour, being the hottest portion of the day, all by herself. This woman who has been exiled, so to speak, from the rest of her community. But Jesus does, he reaches out to her. And one of the great images that we see, again, too, is that Christianity, I say this time and time again, Christianity is not our search for God, but rather it's his search and his pursuit of us. And that's what we see in this great story, this great gospel story. And so what Jesus tells her is, says, I am the one who can give you the thing that your heart desires. I am the one who can satisfy that thirst that goes beyond merely the physical, but actually goes down to the level of the soul. I am the one now who has the capacity to satisfy that most deep human longing that you have. And in fact, today, what we celebrate is we celebrate the first scrutiny, right? We celebrate for our candidates who, God willing, here in a month or so, will come into the church at the Easter Vigil, right? And what we feel, too, what each and every single one of us feels is this longing for God, this longing for water that will quench all thirst. And of course, what Jesus is pointing to is baptism, right? That sacrament that now fills us with the Holy Spirit, that fills us with God himself, ultimately beginning to satisfy that longing, that most basic longing that we have in the human heart. Right? You see, the way that Moses led the people out of Egypt into the Promised Land was through the Red Sea. Right? As he slammed down his staff and as he separated those waters, the Israelites passing through it, all of a sudden now were on their way into the Promised Land, and the sea collapsing upon the Egyptians that enslaved them. Right, this being that image now for us for baptism. It's through those waters now that we are freed from the slavery of sin, all of a sudden now to live that life now that will ultimately begin to satisfy that longing of the human heart. You see, the reason why the story of the Exodus, I think, is so captivating to us even today is because we know that we long for freedom. We long for a freedom now that ends up ultimately fulfilling those deepest desires that we have, that leads us out of the slavery of sin, that gives us the opportunity now to encounter God in a whole new way. Right, and that's what the church has envisioned for us throughout the course of these 40 days of Lent. To begin to leave behind the slavery to sin. So as to now be open to those new waters, that new life that only our Lord can give us, that life that ultimately quenches that deepest of thirst that we have in our soul. And so this week, may we meditate upon this. May we come back to our Lord knowing that he is the one who thirsts for us. Right? And as he tells us here in the gospel, it's him and only him that can ultimately give us that water that will quench the thirst that ultimately leads to eternal life.